Okay, well, welcome everybody to Secular AA's global tour of monthly speaker meetings featuring secular AA groups from across the globe. I am Margarita, an alcohol-free Margarita for 1,022 days and a satisfied customer of Secular AA with a few announcements before our guests from Freethinkers of Rockland, New York, in the US present. So I'm so glad you're all here. Thanks to Veronica G and Veronica M, we can provide simultaneous translation from English to Spanish and Spanish to English. Today's speakers will be presenting in English, followed by an open discussion from participants who can share in English or in Spanish because you'll be translated into the other languages simultaneously by our translators. And thank you very much, Veronica, for volunteering your professional translation today and widening the secular AA gateway even more. Regarding our events, today's 90-minute event is brought to you by Secular AA. Our format is secular. The people who are here all have different beliefs, and we hope that everyone can feel free to express themselves candidly without fear of dissuasion or persuasion. We are the same organization that has putting on international conferences of secular AAs, starting in Santa Monica, been to Austin, Texas, and Toronto, and tried to make it to DC, but the pandemic happened. So we've been going virtually until this September, and we will put information in the chat about our next in-person global, our next in-person international conference of secular AA in September, the 20th through the 22nd. And I will also be putting information in the chat about recordings from those past sessions of the virtual conferences, as well as these global speaker tours that we've been putting on since 2020. Let's see. I'll also put in information in the chat about the ICSA Orlando 2024 Facebook group that you can join and share ideas about or volunteer for panels and sessions. Next month, we get to feature a Zoom-based international secular AA group called Sober She Devils on Sunday, May 5th, and followed by Poland the following month in June. And anyone with a group to recommend we feature in future months, please email me at secularaa@gmail.com with global speakers as recommendation as a subject. So the speakers will present for now, and I'll hand the mic over to the main event. Thank you so much, Rockland Freethinkers, for volunteering to be featured this month. And Troy, thank you very much for taking the mic.
Thank you, Margarita, and everyone doing service for this. Hello, everyone. I'm Troy. I'm an addict and alcoholic. My sobriety date is 8/22/2022. It's not my first one. I started recovery. The first time I went to rehab and took it serious was, ironically enough, September 20th, 2020. So this upcoming conference is special meaning for me. So thank you to everyone for being here. The Rockland Freethinkers began on Zoom in July on July 19th, 2020, after the pandemic shut everything down. A bunch of people, one of the founders is here tonight. Well, maybe more, but a bunch of people who knew each other kind of through the grapevine, in person, got together and made this happen. So, Rockland County is just outside New York City. It's right on the Hudson River, right across the Tappan Zee Bridge. We have a Zoom meeting at 4 p.m. every Sunday. That's the first meeting I ever went to, luckily for me. And it all began on a Sunday afternoon at 4. Monday night at 7:30 p.m., we do a recovery reading meeting. And Tuesdays at 6:30 in the evening, they started an in-person meeting, actually twice, but the COVID thing kind of took things back and forth, but it's going strong again in person. And it's at a recovery center building, which is, you know, a four-story office building, basically, with a lot of different recovery options for people there. We do three readings at the meetings. And if I can share my screen, I hope I can take a minute. Because when I was the first time I went to the meeting and heard the readings that we still do, I was really comfortable. So if I may, these are Bill W.'s words. Newcomers are approaching AA at the rate of tens of thousands yearly. They represent almost every belief and attitude imaginable. We have atheists and agnostics. We have people of nearly every race, culture, and religion. In AA, we are supposed to be bound together in the kinship of a common suffering. Consequently, the full individual liberty to practice any creed or principle or therapy, whatever, should be a first consideration for us all. Let us not, therefore, pressure anyone with our individual or even our collective views. Let us instead accord each other the respect and love that is due to every human being as they try to make their way toward the light. Let us always try to be inclusive rather than exclusive. Let us remember that each alcoholic among us is a member of AA so long as they so declare. Bill W. Thank you, everyone. So I think that's about enough out of me. I'd like to present three women who are very important to me and I hope are always in my life. And the first woman is Lauren. Welcome, Lauren.
Thanks so much, Troy. I'm Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. My pronouns are she, her. And Rockland County Freethinkers, the online meeting, is one of my home groups. And then I have an in-person home group here in Philly, Serenity Now Women's Meeting. I'm from Jersey. Now I'm in Philly. My sobriety date is January 17th, 2018. I had 6 years in January. I want to focus on, you know, secular recovery, but I'll give some background. I was a problem drinker from the first time that I drank, when I was, I think, like 16. I already was struggling a lot with my mental health. Therapy and medication was not helping as much. And I sort of had an attitude that I've heard other people in the rooms have of, this is how I survive. This is how I get through. Like, I deserve this. And yeah, I was just in a lot of psychological pain. And that's a huge part of my story, even into sobriety. But on top of that, I think I just had that compulsion, that maybe addictive personality inside me, because it translates to other things like sex and love, anything that gives me like that dopamine rush. I think I have it in my head. Throughout high school, blackout drunk. I was always a blackout drunk. When I got to college, my third week into school, I got alcohol poisoning. So as soon as I didn't time myself. We'll start it now. As soon as I was out on my own, I almost died. So I try to remember that when I think that maybe sort of kind of I can drink again. Yeah, I really wanted to sort of focus on recovery. So at first, I was still hanging on to using a substance. I was using cannabis. I had stopped drinking was using that. Because I still had that feeling of I'm in tremendous pain. I want escape, I want oblivion, but people don't want me to die, so I'm gonna do this to survive. And I also had the idea that it couldn't be addictive, which I now know is, not true. A lot of stuff is addictive. There's Marijuana's Anonymous for those that struggle with that particularly. And yeah, then I got arrested, and that was my actual moment of almost relief, because we lie so much in addiction, get so far from our values and ourselves, and forget who we are. I didn't know what I liked or who I was at my core anymore. I was 19, and I got into the rooms, and the religion was one of the things I used to be like, I don't belong here. First, it was like that I'm young. I have, I deserve more time drinking and partying and everything, because I completely, fun and drinking were totally intertwined, which is really sad, to feel like you have to be intoxicated to have a good time. I kind of say it like, oh, I thought I deserved more years of misery, because that was actually what it would have been. And my first meeting, they said the Lord's Prayer, and I kind of broke down crying. I was raised in Catholicism, and I associated with my childhood and with this pressure to be good. And I was like, look where I've ended up, saying the same prayer in an AA meeting. So that was a struggle. I at first was going to a lot of meetings where it was God heavy. And it wasn't until I got my first sponsor who was more open-minded about that stuff. And she could see it was a block for me and an excuse that I was using to not fully lean in to the program. And it was the first person who had asked me, like, what do you actually believe in? Like, okay, you don't resonate with God, like a Christian sort of understanding of it, or even other religions, like just any anthropomorphized like being. What resonates with you? And I kind of, that opened a door, because I hadn't thought of it. I thought I had to attach myself to something that was tangible. And I sort of landed on a like spirit of the universe, a just the improbability that we're all here. Like, we're on Zoom, that's crazy, but that exists. But yeah, the improbability, everything exists and things slide into place. This person meets this person, and then I exist. Just the beauty of it all in nature. Feel so connected in nature, in music, collective experiences, and that stuff, like that's kind of my prayer, also mindfulness, getting in touch with my body and my mind, and really like connecting with other people is, the room started out as my higher power, and it's still just how I stay grounded. Like this week, I was really not doing well. The last thing I wanted to do is go to my home group. And just by connecting, talking, laughing a little bit, I left feeling so much better, playing like fun music and driving down the highway. Like, it's incredible the shift we can have. And before that, I was feeling like self-harming and having some little like drinking urges. So that's so essential for me. Along with the steps, like as I approach them, not everyone does the steps or does a different interpretation. But yeah, the connection is so important. And I was talking to someone today about how, like, I'm 6 years in and I've had thoughts sometimes. Like, I started grad school, which is a huge gift of sobriety. That's why I moved out to Philly. And I was talking to someone about why we keep coming, why we keep going to meetings. I've done the steps twice. I've been to a million, not a million, a lot of meetings. I made a bunch of fellowship calls, but I need to keep doing it, and need to keep expanding my understanding, exploring, like spirituality, but also, I don't know, the science of addiction is like helpful to me, and new things we discover, new ways to approach it. I need to keep exploring and keep staying engaged because you never know, when life is going to throw something at you, and you know for sure that it eventually will. And throughout my sobriety, because of the connection I've had to, the world, that's sort of my higher power, if you call it that, and to others into the program, I've been able to make it through. I had a huge emotional bottom in 2020, and I had a suicide attempt, and I was in and out of psychiatric units, and I didn't drink. And that's one of those things that I'm very, I think, like a lot of us, very like practical, skeptical, really like to think things through, no reasons. And I realize I can't see all of you, gallery. Hi, everyone. But that's something that like I can't explain. I know a bunch of factors. I kept going to meetings. My family held me really close, my friends, but yeah, I didn't want to be here anymore, but I still knew I couldn't drink. And that is wild. And that is something I can get in touch with where when I'm feeling like maybe I don't need this, or maybe I could drink. Because I'm someone that I have 6 years, I have more time, probably double the time sober that I ever drank or used. And it still comes up for me. Some people, I get jealous, people that are like, the obsession was lifted and it hasn't come back. Because I get down or have one of my episodes with my mental health and it comes back. My grandma passed, I felt really close to drinking. But I have the tools and nothing can take that away from me. And I need to keep flexing them like a muscle. It's all about like changing your reflexes when you're upset or in discomfort. What do you do next? Because it used to be just numb it all out. And that's kind of what I see the program as. And yeah, in terms of secular AA overall, it was just so important for me to find the spaces where I'm comfortable and where I can be honest and not feel judged. And for me, that's like women's meetings, LGBTQ meetings, gender expansive meetings, secular AA. It's like you can find the spaces. And I try to say that to newcomers. And don't shut yourself off to all of AA, but, or if you need to feel safe, like to not go to certain meetings, understandable. But it's out there if you seek it. And that's just amazing to me that we took this literature and this idea and this program that said very specific things about what maybe we should believe, what we should do. And we expanded on it and look at all of us here having our own interpretation and our own approach that works for us, and connecting over that. I think that's really great. And I'll wrap up so other people have time. But today, just, what it was like, what it's like now. I still have my moments. Like I said, this week is stressful. I'm in a doctoral program, so it's a lot. But my baseline, instead of being here, and it is up here. And that's only because of sobriety, because only because of sobriety could I mentally heal, get to where I needed to be, dig myself out of the pit that I did in 2020, 2021. So my baseline is like up here. So when I fluctuate, I'm fluctuating up here instead of down here. And that's all we can ask for. I have contentment. I don't always need happiness. I have contentment. I'm able to have joy. And I do have fun. Without drinking, if anything, it's fun to go to events and watch drunk people say stupid things, and be totally cognizant, and then be able to drive home on your own, like pick up some Wendy's. Like, great. It doesn't shut you off from the world. I went to Berlin with a bunch of sober people. I just went to a concert last night with a bunch of sober people. You can live a beautiful and like fuller life, I can, than I ever could have using. So yeah, that is all I have, and this is a really cool place to share. I see people all over. So that is beautiful. And thank you, and I'll pass it back to Troy.
Thank you very much, Lauren. And our next speaker is another wonderful woman, Kat. Welcome.
Hi guys, my name's Kat. I'm an alcoholic. I'm an addict. I am very, very grateful for secular AA and spaces like this. I literally just looked at the participants number and I saw 59, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's crazy. And it's amazing that there's a big number of people coming together with kind of this common interest, and we're all here for community. And I think that's one of the most important things to me. So, I guess I'll give some context to what brought me here. My sobriety date is June 19th of 2022, so that gives me almost a year and 10 months, 650 something days, which is crazy. It still blows my mind. I still need to like remember my day count and keep myself accountable. So I'm 28 years old. Got sober when I was 26. I've always felt like, oh my gosh, that's so young. And it is what it isn't, you know? And I'm just really grateful that I, you know, kind of figured it out now instead of later. So to kind of go backwards in time, I guess, you know, I had my first drink when I was like 12. And it was pretty instantly this like, ooh, that's cool. And then just taking it absolutely too far. And that was kind of the history of everything that I tried and experimented with, drugs and alcohol or not. It was just absolutely taking it too far. I kind of grew up in a loving but a little bit difficult household. My older brother, he's on the autism spectrum. He's nonverbal and pretty low functioning, and a lot of the attention growing up was on him, and I kind of would do anything in the world for attention. And unfortunately, discovered, you know, drugs and alcohol, and that was a pretty surefire way to get that attention, whether it was being the life of the party somewhere, or so I thought, or getting myself into a lot of trouble. I just really wanted people to kind of look at me. And I excused things so much, you know, like when I was in like middle school and it's like trying a cigarette and stuff like that. I'm like, this is what you do. Like, you just kind of experiment and do these things. And it was like the same deal in high school. I excused my using because everyone parties a little bit, you know, like, why not? And I didn't recognize that my partying or my definition of it was just taking it way too far. And then that whole mentality just got a lot worse in college, you know? And I was kind of one of those people in school that could like do pretty much the bare minimum and like just pass, you know? Like, I put in no effort. I got like steady C minuses, and that was fine because I passed and I didn't have to like face any consequences for my actions. I didn't really apply myself. And, you know, moving forward, like after college, it was just still like, I'm young, I'm gonna party, I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna do this. And like, I started to realize that I was, you know, the whole taking it too far thing and blacking out all the time, like waking up with like a full day's load of anxiety to navigate through, and thinking about, who do I have to call to apologize to? who did I see last night? Where's my wallet? Like, what's my bank account look like? You know, like all of that. Like, that was happening like 3 or 4 nights a week. And I thought I was having fun, you know, like I really thought that I was like living the life and I had all of these friends. But I did kind of start to realize that I was, as I keep saying, taking it too far. And I would try to set these limits for myself. Like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to stop my, put a cap on this many drinks, or I'm not going to drink hard liquor. I'm just going to drink beer or whatever. And I was able to like meet those limits, but it was at the expense of a complete obsession the entire time. Like, sort of manipulating the limits I'm setting for myself. Like, I give myself a 3 drink cap. I'm gonna find the strongest IPA possible and drink them as fast as possible. Like, just doing whatever I could to kind of like convince myself that I'm doing the right thing. But also, you know, it was just like looking at it now, it was just like total BS. And yeah, I mean, I kind of got pretty heavy into drugs my last, you know, 2 years of being there, being out there. And that's kind of when it got really scary. I was waking up places that I didn't remember getting to. One of the scariest moments for me was waking up in my car in a parking lot with a bag of drugs on my lap. And that was kind of my, like, oh my goodness, like moment. Like, that was really, really scary. So I brought myself to a meeting, my very first AA meeting. Didn't know there were different kinds of meetings. I just kind of thought, like, you just go to church basement and figure it out. And my very first meeting, I'm 26 years old, and I was probably the youngest one there by about 40 years. And that's nothing against older people, but I felt like, oh my God, I absolutely do not belong here. What am I doing here? What am I thinking? They're all praying, kumbaya. It was like the most stereotypical traditional meeting in the world. And I, you know, of course, it put this impression on me that, like, okay, clearly AA is not for me, right? Like, I'm not that. I am whatever. It didn't work. And it resulted in, I don't know, I like the time of it all gets fuzzy, you know, but it was at least a couple of more months being out there. Just more, and it almost seemed like after that meeting, I, you know, just threw myself that much further down the drain because I was like, oh, this isn't for me. I'm fine with what I'm doing then, you know, and just more of these like kind of scary close calls happening. And I went to Rocklin Freethinkers. I was 7 days sober. I think I had gone to a couple of other traditional meetings in between. I didn't even realize that it was like secular AA, you know, like I kind of was just like going to meetings and figuring it out. And it was Rocklin Freethinkers that it clicked instantly. I realized that there's a space for people like me. You know, I grew up Catholic. I remember kind of questioning the world as young as like 7 years old, you know, like I can remember, like, you know, you're taught to like pray for forgiveness and pray for this, pray for that. And I remember being like a little kid and being like, if I pray for a bicycle, is it gonna show up on my front doorstep the next day? And when no bicycle showed up, you know, I start questioning the universe to what my little 7-year-old peanut brain could understand. But, you know, like that, it was just, I could not subscribe to giving it up to a God. And when I found secular AA, I kind of, you know, I just gave it a shot. Like I had nothing to lose at that point. And I did all the things they tell you. I kept coming back. I came early. I stayed late. I engaged with people. I really appreciated the community aspect of it. Like, I wasn't going somewhere and dreading it and feeling like I can't talk to anybody after. Like, it was just a room of like freaking cool people that really like instantly love and care about you and show you kind of that appreciation. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I think secular meetings have also opened up my mind to like being able to take things away from traditional meetings. Like it went from me just like totally writing out like any meeting ever, thinking that they were all the same, to going to meetings where you can be open to other ideas and opinions. And free thinkers specifically, you know, we say, you know, you can share whatever you want without, you know, lack of judgment. We say crying and cursing are welcome at the beginning of every meeting. And I remember hearing that for the first time and thinking, like, all right, these are my people. Like, absolutely. But yeah, I think it really has opened up my perspective to other meetings. And I've learned now that I can take a little piece of something away from every meeting that I go to, even if I'm not relating fully 100% to the context of everybody in the room. At least one person is going to say something that I resonate with, and that's kind of all I need. And it's the whole like take what you want and leave the rest mentality that secular meetings has helped me figure out. And you know, I guess in the beginning of going to meetings, I kept on setting these like conditionals for myself, like, oh, like I'll stay sober this summer. I have a wedding coming up in September, you know, I'll just drink then. I have a family vacation coming up, like I'll just drink then. And I kept on kind of like getting over these humps, staying sober and being okay. And then realizing, like, you know, I think it was when I started step work, I realized, like, all right, like this feels good for the long haul, but I also need to humble myself and keep it one day at a time. Like, I can have the understanding that this is absolutely the best thing for me is being sober, but I can't look 35 years into the future. Like, I need to focus on today. And yeah, I mean, I think getting a sponsor for me, that was like pretty huge. If it's okay to say this, our last speaker, Lauren, is my sponsor, and she's a wonderful woman. And you know, she was sharing about how her sponsor kind of opened up the whole perspective of the higher power thing. Like, it doesn't have to be a god. Like, what is it that like makes you know, feel beyond yourself? And Lauren kind of did that whole same concept with me. And I hope to trickle that down to somebody in the future, you know, like this beautiful chain reaction. And I guess for me, my higher power would be music and community, you know, being in spaces like this. I'm sitting in a Zoom meeting with 60 people that are all listening to me right now because we're all kind of interested in the same thing, and that's huge. And it's kind of anything that takes you out of yourself. And for me, like one of the things that shuts off my brain and kind of channels me into a different universe is playing guitar and playing music. So I have that, and I can view that as something beyond me, like something that exists in the world that can kind of get me to a different place without like my own judgment trying to stop it. And yeah, I mean, that first summer was kind of awesome. Like, I thought, you know, like, I'm never gonna have fun again. Like, I'm gonna watch all of my friends like party and live their lives, and I'm gonna just like, you know, wither away. Like, I'm not gonna have fun. I'm gonna become a homebody. And like, oh my God. And I had the best summer ever. Like, you know, I love going out to shows and seeing music and being like rough and rowdy in a mosh pit. And like, I didn't have to worry about how am I going to get home? I'm going to drive home from the city. Am I going to like talk to a random person and try to like sleep on their couch? Like, no, I'm just going to drive home. And that's awesome. I remember, like, I don't know, a couple months in, there was a band I really liked playing in Brooklyn. I went and I saw them. I saw that the next night they were playing in Philly, and I was like, okay, like I'll just go to Philly and like do that. And like I just had so much fun, like kind of I refer to it now as like healthy chaos, you know, doing things like that where it's just like it's within reason and it's, you know, exciting and I'm sober and it's fucking awesome. Yeah, and I mean, maybe that was a little bit of like pink cloud mentality, but I still, you know, I had a good time. And even through all of like the highs and lows, I've experienced like death, suicide, all bunch of crazy stuff in the past year and 9 months and 2 weeks and however many days. But I've always had these meetings to come back to. More recently, I kind of had a really personal thing that I just like kind of blurted out at my meeting last week, and I was greeted with, a big group of people that are just like, we're not judging you and we love you and you're awesome and you're going to be okay. And I never had that when I was using. I thought I had a ton of friends, but it wasn't like coherent, I guess. I don't know the right word for it, but it was kind of fake. And I'm just really grateful. I'm really grateful. Being here is awesome. I don't know, like, I don't know. Whenever I do these shares, I'm like, did I just ramble forever? Did anyone get anything out of this? But it felt good for me to talk. And I don't know if you could hear my dog barking, but I know it's also 15 minutes. So I'm going to end it here. I'm really grateful, really, really grateful. And thank you guys.
Thank you, Kat. Thank you very much. And it is my pleasure to introduce Christina. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you, Troy. Hi, everyone. I'm Christina. And my sober date is September 17th, 2017. I took some notes because I tend to talk forever. I'm in a creative writing class and I keep writing about my drinking. And it's like I write double the length it's supposed to be. So I'll try and stick to my bullet points. Forgot my timer. Let me start my timer. I started drinking when I was in my early, well, my late teens. I drank here and there. I wasn't really a party person in high school. Like when I was a little kid, there were those liquor chocolates. I remember having a couple of those, and I took sips from adults here and there, but there wasn't a lot of alcohol use in my house. They had like the bar cart, but there wasn't a lot of drinking, and yeah, I wasn't really exposed to it too much. My first boyfriend ended up being really enjoying alcohol use, and I tried to like follow him, and I yeah I just that's kind of how I started drinking more. And I got kicked out of college my first semester. It was a disaster in my personal life because I was friends with all these people who were going to all these good colleges and they had these awesome futures, and I got kicked out of college for a semester. I wasn't even put on probation. So that was the end of my life. That's what it felt like. And at that point I started smoking pot. And throughout high school I was like, smoking pot is bad. And I gave my boyfriend like an ultimatum at some point. I was like, either you choose pot or me. And he chose pot, and I stayed with him anyway. But yeah, so it was just kind of like funny that I ended up becoming a pothead. And I found myself in a world with older people who spent a lot of time drinking. And again, I tried to fit in and match their behaviors. And I still was pretty good about drinking, though. I wouldn't drive drunk. I would drink like maybe one or two drinks. And yeah, I smoked a lot of cigarettes, though. I did that for a while. And then I started to I had this chain of really bad relationships. They were abusive relationships. And part of the reason why I had trouble in college the first time was because being away from home, I was able to Not that I was able to, but it became visible that that the trauma I experienced in childhood it was there. Because all throughout childhood, it was just like, you don't talk about it. Don't tell anybody. It's really shameful. And I experienced various types of abuse in childhood. It was the kind of stuff that, like, yeah, I couldn't talk about it. I wasn't allowed to talk about it. I didn't have a safe place to talk about it. It wasn't that bad. I'm doing the quotes. It's not that bad. So, I learned to make myself small and pretend like I was okay. And it really came out when I was on my own, like Lauren said. And yeah, I just I started to in my early 20s, those string of bad relationships, I started to drink even more to like subdue the flashbacks that I was experiencing and to try and erase some of the shame that I was feeling. Because I felt like everybody saw it on me. I felt like everybody saw what happened to me, and that I was below everyone, and they couldn't trust me, that I was trash. That's how I felt. And so I drank to feel okay, and I drank to erase the traumatic events that I was experiencing in adulthood. I wanted to pretend that they never existed, and then after there was a clear-cut assault, because all of the traumatic experiences that I had up to that point were like kind of, it could be one or the other. They were kind of gray areas. Then there was a clear-cut assault, and from that point, I just started drinking to oblivion. There was no way that like that I could proceed without. I needed to suppress what was happening. And I started drinking to blackout, and smoking blackout too. That was the combination was my thing. And throwing up every day. I don't know how I thought that was normal, but I did. And I had survived a suicide attempt. And well, two, and I just it felt like I couldn't die, and like I couldn't stop. I couldn't commit suicide. And I decided while I was drinking to blackout that I was just going to take myself out slowly. That would be the way. Yeah, I felt like I was stuck. I was stuck being alive. And I got to a point where I was so embarrassed about myself and my behavior, where I just went I found a way to go to rehab. And when I was in rehab, I inpatient rehab, that's when I like was faced with, oh, I also have to stop smoking. How can I do that forever? I survived, and I went to outpatient, and I did that for like 2 years. I'm one of those people who did not get sober through AA, but I maintain my sobriety by going to AA. Churches are uncomfortable places for me. I did not grow up with religion. So just that kind of like framework, it feels it out of place for me. And I toured a lot of church parking lots. I was afraid to walk into these places. I would look for the smokers because I knew to follow them. That would be the location in the church. But I still was very uncomfortable with the whole situation. I started feeling like when I did walk into meetings that it was just like such a Christian central thing. Even though they were saying it wasn't a religious program, they're there's prayers, and it felt like I had to change my core beliefs to be able to have a sober community. And that didn't work for me. So yeah, I'm super grateful that my outpatient kept me for so long. Eventually I did find a women's group. It was in a yoga studio, and the women were around my age. I was in my early 30s, so I thought that I was pretty young for AA. I was young in the rooms that I was going into. And the women also weren't moms. A lot of the meetings that I went into, they're like the with women, they were moms, and I couldn't relate. The women's meeting, it just they opened a new door for me. It was like about empowerment and tapping into your own authenticity and like not conforming to what others need me to be. And I needed that. I absolutely needed that. I eventually I started to kind of question, because they were still very stuck to just the rigid AA stuff a little bit. And I started looking into other avenues, and that's when I came across the Beyond Belief podcast, and I listened to a lot of the episodes and learned as much as I could. The closest secular meetings to me were like 40 or so minutes away. I'd have to go into the city or Jersey, and going into the city is just a huge hassle and all the tolls and stuff. I just kind of This was like the fall of 2019. I just listened as much as I could and learned as much as I could. And the pandemic gave me an opportunity to explore different meetings on Zoom. And I found the Sober She Devils meeting. That was a really cool place for me. I learned a lot, and I was, that was my secular meeting that I went to for a while. And a couple other people, like my sponsor at the time and some people she knew, were talking about starting a meeting. And I, here I am now. I've learned about all these other meetings. We started talking about making a meeting for Rockland, in Rockland. And I had 2 years and 10 months at this time, so I didn't think that I had enough experience. I just like the rest of the people had like between 15 to 30 something years of sobriety. And then there was me with my less than 3 years. They listened to my ideas, and we met with on Zoom with some people from the Lodi group, New Pews Required, and the Fort Lee group, Not Saints. And they were like, well, if you want to start a meeting, just do it. And like Troy said, July 19th, 2020, we had the first Rockland Freethinkers meeting, and it was amazing. It was just really fucking cool. And we added the second meeting, and then we started doing the in-person. I think it was August 2021. And I look forward to all three of those meetings every week. And I look forward to seeing people in person. And I look forward to seeing people like Kat, who come in with a week, and watching them grow and step into themselves as sober people. In my life also, like I've gone back to school. It's my fifth attempt at getting a degree. I have 3 weeks left in this semester, and then I have one more semester, and then I get my fucking diploma finally. 20 years after graduating high school. And you know, it wasn't easy to make that decision to go back. I had to com I completed a program. I actually then went to do the education to become a substance abuse counselor. And then I realized that there's so much work that needs to be done. I found out in my recovery that I have complex post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm neurodiverse, and I function a little differently. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I know that I'm not the only person in recovery who has experienced trauma. I also, everything that I read says that integrated treatment is the best way to tackle it. It's not just trauma or just recovery or just substance use treatment. It's best when they're both treated at the same time. And while they say that, there aren't programs. There are like ex very few programs in the US that do that. And I want to just bring more awareness and help change that. And not only am I finishing up getting my bachelor's degree, but I'm looking into going to grad school and following Lauren's steps and going into a doctoral program. Crossing my fingers that I get in. And that's where I'm at in my life right now, and I never thought this could be possible. I thought I was dumb. I thought my life was over. I thought that I was just a piece of shit. And here I am now, more confident than I've ever been. Still struggle with that, but there's my 15 minutes. I am just so grateful to be here and so grateful that we have this community, the secular AA community, and Rockland Freethinkers, and Zoom. That's been really cool. Just thank you. Thank you for listening to me today.
Thank you,
Thank you, Christine.
Christina. Yes, thank you. Those were three really powerful speakers. Fantastic shares. Thank you. I'm just overwhelmed. So much that I could relate to. It's just, it reminds me, I'm not alone anymore. It's been wonderful. But let me just make a few announcements, and I'll hand the mic back over to Troy, who will moderate the discussion.
Thank you, Margarita. Yes, thank you, Lauren, Kat, and Christina. I wouldn't be here without your support. I know that. Love you guys. We're opening the floor. Brad, I'm asking you to unmute.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay,
Welcome.
cool. If you have any trouble turning the beer thing off. No, I just appreciated all the speakers. I could really identify. It's funny, isn't it? Everybody's in school. So am I. I'm about to graduate with my master's in social work, thank goodness. It was a 3-year program because that's how my university does it. If you don't have a bachelor's in social work, and I kind of needed the 3-year program because I was going from accounting. I got so burned out on numbers and stuff. And that's kind of what led my drinking to get really bad. I could also, oh, with the like neurodivergence. Yeah, me too. Oh my God. I unfortunately, I just recently realized I should have tried to get accommodations for my ADHD and some other diagnoses I should have pursued. Yeah, all my so one of my social work professors figured out that I had a problem beyond just plain old laziness. I'm just happy that I think I found a career that I'm going to enjoy. I'd like to do recovery, addiction, and counseling. I think that's where my heart really lies. Yeah, just the whole finding AA and recovery. my life's just a whole heck of a lot better than it was a few years ago. Trying to wrap up. Just impressed with everybody. I love all the shares. I can't remember what else I was going to say. I'll leave it there. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brad. Welcome. I'm asking you to unmute.
Hi. Well, thank you so much for the meeting and all those wonderful shares. My name's Emma. I'm an alcoholic addict. So I should have started with that. Hi, everybody. So I'm in South Wales in the UK. I've been a member of AA for 3 years and I've just celebrated 6 months sober. So that shows you that for me, it's been a, yay, thank you. For me, it's been an interesting journey. And yeah, I've only just hit upon secular AA and I am so pleased because for me, so I've gone through the steps and I had sponsors and I had sponsees and then I relapsed and went to rehab. And for me, my personal journey through finding a higher power has been that actually I can't, for me, I can't subscribe to a conscious creator of the universe, but I really certainly respect everybody else's beliefs and I don't want, it's been really difficult to find a way through, but I'm really happy now with what I believe in my higher power as is, which is, I suppose, effectively science and looking at that, you know, for me, the understanding of trauma and the way it influences our mind. And and I don't want to go too much about that because that's just my interpretation. I just love that I've seemed to have found a space that, unfortunately, you're an awful long way from me. So coming in person there are some secular meetings in the UK I've found, I think, but they're London. So that in itself is a few hundred miles away. But hey, we've got Zoom. And yeah, it's just really nice to be here and be sober tonight. And thank you for welcoming me. And yeah, thanks, everybody.
Glad you're here, Emma. Thank you. Welcome. Marcia, I'm asking you to unmute.
Why, thank you, Troy. Hey, family. Alcoholic addict problems, Marcia. Thanks to everybody being of service for putting this on. I sort of remembered at the last minute that it was happening. I was like, oh, I need a meeting. Why? Because my head's up my butt. That's why. And I tuned right into the right meeting. So thanks to the three speakers, I connect with on different levels. First speaker talking about being asked, what do you believe in? And I was like, I wonder what I would have responded if I ever was asked that question. And when I think about it now, I still don't know what I believe in and what I connect with. Well, don't you connect with the universe and how we got here? Well, my brain doesn't function that way. That's not my job. That's like other people who are smarter than me. They figure out that shit. I'm here because I'm here and all that stuff. So, but what I do believe in is this program. And then second speaker talking about, you know, just driving from one place to another, seeing a band and whatever. I still haven't gotten to that point. June 16th, 2017 is my sobriety date. And I'm still trying to figure out what's going on there and what I like to do and what I don't like to do. But that sounded exciting. And maybe that's something, you know, I got a car now and I have a driver's license and I'm allowed to cross the border. So fuck, man, go do something, you know, do something. Maybe go to ICSA. We'll see about that. So that was kind of cool. And then really resonated the final speaker talking about like stuff being alive. Like, holy shit. Did I not feel that way for the longest freaking time? And congratulations to you on where you're going with your stuff. I work in mental health and addiction as well. And I'm like, do I want to continue? Do I not? And then you just said something so simple, like there's so much work that still needs to be done. So it's time to start looking into the different avenues and stuff like that, you know, because I'm feeling like I've hit some sort of wall right now. So thank you for my eye opener on that. My head is still up my butt, but not as far. And I'm feeling a little bit more connected with my recovery today. And I can thank you all for that. So my advice to all of you is to keep your head out of your butt and keep doing the next right thing. Much love to everyone.
Thank you, Marcia. Hello, Grant.
Hello, Troy. Nice to see you again. I'm glad you weren't a speaker today. I've heard your story a few times already, but the ladies I hadn't heard so much, so I'm glad to hear them. They all did a really good job, too. I'm going to keep this short. I identified not so much with the ladies because they're all so much younger, too. I got daughters that are a lot older than them. But anyhow, two things I got to say I identified with on Christina. You said you got kicked out of college at your first semester. That's a me too also. First semester, bang, gone. And then later you said you did rehab followed by 2 years of outpatient counseling. And I did exactly the same thing. And we're both here to talk about it. So it must work somehow. And that's it. I'm going to say about the speaking. They did a good job. Thanks a lot. And thanks to everybody's hosted all this. A lot of work, I know. I'm done. Next.
Thank you, Grant. Hello, Will.
Hey, good afternoon, Troy. Thank you so much. Thank you all, Troy, for emceeing today. Margarita, for being our host here for Joe and all the co-hosts. Dave, it takes a village to put on these every month, and a lot of people are translators. Fantastic. So as a member of the board of Secular AA, I just want to thank everybody for being here. This is an important monthly landing place for us to connect with groups from around the world. I know we have the Silver She Devils coming up. I know we have the group in Poland coming up. So if you like what you heard here, please try and make a habit of it. I also really want to thank the Rockland Free Thinkers. I think it's great when a group starts, and driven by, the need. And then young people, the group of speakers from Christina and Kat and Lauren, tremendous. I love hearing, first off, I don't know if we've had one when they were all our speakers were women, young women, who shared stories that I could still relate to. I grew up Catholic. I was a blackout drinker. I wanted oblivion. I related to all of that. And it's amazing to hear that coming out of the mouth of somebody, that is quite a few years younger, but yet there we are. I also heard neurodivergence. I heard LGBTQ. I heard women's meetings. I heard outpatient. I heard all the different parts of recovery that holistically can really be of benefit, and that we. I think it's great that in our secular meetings, in our secular space, that we embrace all of that and we encourage all of that. And we don't try and fit everybody into this one size fits all situation, because it just didn't work for me in that respect. I still do a traditional meeting once a week. But my home groups and my home is typically found in secular AA, where I find just more space and grace for differences and different points of view. So thank you all again for being here today. And with that, I will pass. Peace.
Thank you, Will. Erin, welcome.
Hi, thank you, Troy. I forgot I put my hand up. I was like, okay, so what great leads. So glad to be here. I'm grateful that someone told me about this meeting a few weeks ago. I actually put it on my calendar. Then I was able to let some other women know, and they made it also. So just such a nice little network. I don't think I have that much to say, except that it's fun to be sober from alcohol. And I'm also Catholic and blackout drinker and... Oh, I would like to share one thing. A few weeks ago, I was trying to be a hermit for 3 days. I didn't want to talk to anyone Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. But then a friend texted and said, we have these concert tickets to see Beth Orton, who's one of my favorite singers in the world. And I didn't want to go because I wanted to hermit, but I pulled it together and I went. I acted a little weird. So I wasn't feeling okay about being around other people, but it was okay. A loving friend I met in graduate school for social work, so pretty safe. And in solidarity with me, she often doesn't drink. But then the next then I met Beth Orton, and she let me put my arm around her, and I have a picture with her. And then I realized she was going to be in Three Oaks, Michigan the next night. It's a few hours away from me, couple hours. So I drove to her concert. They let me in free, and they gave me a signed poster, and I got to say hi to her again. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I was drunk. And I don't know. I'm in a shaky place today, but I'm glad to be here. I'm on my ninth step with my sponsor, who wants me to say weird magical things. And I'm an atheist, but she's in her 80s and she's so joyful and it's kind of fun. So I kind of just look at it as some kind of cognitive reprocessing out of the depths of despair and into some hope, maybe. So I'm willing to say a few magical things with her. She also teaches yoga and she hikes in the mountains every day and lives in California. So honestly, I'd rather be delusional and more like her than this. You know, I didn't leave the house yesterday. Like, I could not get off the couch. And it was a beautiful sunny day. So I just don't know. But I hope to see some of you at ICSA. I do plan to go. I was at the secular conference in Austin. So that means I'll have been at two of the four ICSA conferences. Last thing I want to say is free thinkers started here in Chicago, 1974. One of the original guys is still here. Come, you guys, please come, okay? Google, please Google, what's it even called? Please just Google atheist and free think, Quad A, Quad A, Quad A. Come to Quad A meetings on Zoom, because it'll be me and you and all these weird old guys who are like the beginning of all this weird shit, which I love. All right, that's it.
Thank you, Karen. Hello, Tim. Welcome.
I'm Tim. I wanted to thank these wonderful speakers. It's been a great meeting, and they're quite a bit younger than me. I'm one of those people that insanely drank alcoholically for 37 years. I was way too functional for my first couple decades being a binge drinker on Friday and Saturday nights, which, you know, as long as it didn't interrupt work, I was, you know, somewhat functional. But it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And I'm very grateful that that I have found AA, and particularly had been going to secular type meetings since about 8 or 9 months after attending AA. We have one here in Chattanooga. It's going strong with an in-person meeting Monday through Friday. So, you know, everybody's story was very similar to mine. I have struggled with the God thing. Actually came in somewhat as a backslidden Southern Baptist with not much enthusiasm or care for the Baptist faith, and had become much more along the lines of probably Lauren's perspective of, you know, there may be some power in the universe that's great and wonderful, and I respect that. And I live in reality mostly. I try to make my life a better life by embracing the concepts of emotional sobriety and living in reality and accepting what comes. That can be difficult sometimes, as all the speakers said. But if I keep that attitude and find a little bit of gratitude each and every day for the things in life that do go right, don't get to where I just get pissed off about things in life and ruminate on that, then life is pretty good. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim. Hello again, everyone. I'm Troy. I'm an addict and alcoholic. Thanks, everyone, for this format and all the support that's always given to me wherever I go. I'm a Zoom baby. I'm 57, but I'm a Zoom baby, and proud of it. I have to say this because it means a lot to me and my recovery. The first meeting I went to, I mentioned earlier, was a 4 o'clock Sunday Rockland Freethinkers. And that's also where I learned from Christina through her shares to have a voice in my recovery. And that was something that, just this simple thing, going to the first business meeting I ever went to just to listen and see what it was, what they did. But Christina was definitely, well, she was the first correspondent I ever had in AA. So I just want to say thank you across the world for that. And, you know, Lauren and Kat are very special too, because since Will said it, maybe I could say it too, kind of, I'm old enough to be their dad, and they've taught me so much more than I could ever dream of. Because AA was supposed to be doom and gloom and a bunch of people that I didn't belong with. And man, am I glad you accepted me, because I need you every day. I go to meetings every day now. So, and they're all on Zoom, but I could feel the love. And when I have a hard minute or hour or whatever, I think of your faces, and it helps me come back to earth. So thank you for that. And the floor is still open, folks. Michelle, welcome.
Hello, everybody. My name is Michelle, and I am an addict and alcoholic. And I'd like to thank those who spoke today and those who have brought this meeting today. I was told about secular AA through a friend that is in my regular traditional AA meetings. And I've been going kind of crazy a little bit. You know, a couple of days ago, I took 14 months clean and sober. And in 2 days, I'll be 57. And I've been going crazy, going to all these different kinds of meetings. I've found Wellbriety online. I found Pagans in Recovery online. There's NA online. There's AA online. And I don't feel like I fit anywhere. You know, my thought process on a higher power is a little, I guess, different than the masses. And I love my home group. That's a traditional AA meeting, and they love me, but I still don't feel like I fit there. You know, I don't feel like it's my skin is there, like that one size fits all. It feels really tight for me, you know, and I've just been kind of going crazy with this whole higher power thing, because I feel, and I know that I do this to myself, I feel like I'm being pushed to get these 12 steps done in the traditional way. And that doesn't sit right with me. And so I'm just glad that you guys are really all here. And I know I probably sound crazy, but I'm just really happy to see that there are people that think along the same lines that I do, you know, without calling themselves willful or selfish. So, and that's all I got. Thank you.
Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Melissa, alcoholic. And I'm one of the people that Karen spread the word to at the last minute. I came on landing at a park, which in Virginia is like a battlefield of the Civil War, but it looks like a park. They just have these, notes about the war. Anyway, I was uncomfortable in my own skin. And that's the time to go to a meeting. You know, it was so interesting, because I've often wondered, you know, I'm 66 and I've been at this since the early 80s. And I often wonder, like, how do these women and men get sober now on Zoom? And yes, wonderful. We have secular, so you don't have to go crazy with that whole thing that doesn't fit. But how do you do it? And so it was good to hear from young women, you know, how it has worked in their lives. But, you know, I just felt alone. My grown kid was here for 4 months and left. Now is in Vermont and should be hopefully on a clear day tomorrow to see the eclipse. But I felt abandoned, lost, empty. And so this just, you know, filled me up for for right now. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melissa.
Well, this is Margarita again, alcohol-free Margarita. We have come to the end of the 90 minutes, and if we don't have any more people with a burning desire to share, we could close the meeting. Troy, does your meeting have a special way to close? Because you know the way we often stop is with finishes with that song. What would you prefer?
Well, I think my three friends from Rockland County would get a kick out of our version.
Okay, all right.
And later this afternoon, they'll get a chance to do our home group one. So,
okay. Anyway. Well, you're going to want to drown out my voice, but you'll catch on very quickly. You go ahead and unmute and put your hands together, and it goes something like this.
If you're sober and you know it, clap your hands.
Thanks, everybody.
That's amazing.
That was amazing.
Thank you for a wonderful meeting.
Lauren, Troy, everybody. That was amazing.
Everybody, guys.
Awesome.
See you again soon. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you all so
Veronica,
much.
Veronica, thanks for translating.
Yeah, thank you, translators.